My fellow Americans, you're listening to Let Freedom Ring. Ron Tanarello, pastor and patriot, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in. We're talking about America's Christian history. It really has an incredible Christian history, a foundation built as solid as a rock, a foundation that has been chipped away at over the last 100 years as secularists have gained more and more power, taking over our colleges, taking over, and those colleges formed and founded by Christians like Harvard and Dartmouth and Princeton and Yale and the College of Rhode Island, now Brown. But that's what has happened. And there's nothing we can do about it right now because it's the nature of things that change comes in. It's interesting. Change is not always good. Change often is bad. Take, for example, a simple thing like Galatians, the book of Galatians. When you begin to read the book and you see the it's a Bible book, obviously, if you listen to this program, it's a Christian station, so you know that we're talking about the Bible, the book of Galatians. Paul's defending his apostleship. Now, he has brought and been given by God directly. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him and gave him his gospel, and that's been verified by the other apostles. Now, in spite of that, he brings this gospel to Galatia, and Galatia is a section where people from Gaul settled, and they established their colonies and their cities in that region of the Asia Minor. What happens is they're doing great. They've received the Holy Spirit. They've received Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Miracles are being worked amongst them, and then Paul finds out that Judaizers have crept in into that work that he had created. Well, what did they do? They came along and they undermined his gospel. They said, now you have to be circumcised. Then they did other things, such as, well, when Peter came, when the first time they showed up was in Antioch, when Peter was there with Barnabas, and they came in, and first thing that happens, they come from Jerusalem to there, and then Peter and Paul and all are eating together, Gentiles and Jews. There's no difference. They're doing fine. But now, when the Jewish brethren come from Jerusalem, who are kosher and maintain their Jewish customs and the law, Peter separates from the rest of the people, as does Barnabas, and Paul confronts him head on. Why? Because what's happened is they're perverting the gospel to the Gentiles. We are Gentiles, not Jews. What does that mean? It means exactly that, that we don't have the same customs and the same rules and the same laws. We are a people that are born again by faith, by grace through faith. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that you can have the best thing going for you, like they had in Galatia, and then in creeps somebody, and they're going to tell you they're going to make it better. Were they making it better? Absolutely not. They were putting them under law. They were saying that if you really want to be a believer, you now have to be circumcised. If you really want a believer, then, and you want to really eat with us, you know, the upper class, well, now you have to go kosher. So when you start looking at this, what they're doing is they're adding what's not necessary. And in so doing it, they're undermining, literally, the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose sacrifice on the cross was sufficient to pay for our sins and to bring us to eternal life by grace through faith. So now here we are, and we're looking at America, an incredible foundation. Our laws coming from the Leviticus, from the Jesus, from Paul, even President Truman writes about that, encouraging people to read the Bible because from it we find where our foundation is. Now, he's doing that back, I would imagine that's back in the 1940s that he's doing that. So he has a background, and he's the one who tells the Pope that we're a Christian nation. That's it. Now, I just want to say to you, what we're dealing with is censorship. And so what happens in this case in Galatia, we have an introduction of heresies. Censorship begins that way. It begins to blot out the things that are true, and it begins to add to that or undermine it. And that's what we've had in America. Our history has been censored. And if you want to talk about censorship today, I'm looking back, we can look back at, 1990s, where people were complaining about the censorship in our schools, textbooks that had been changed over the years, the history of America's Christian origins removed, the pilgrims came here to be a church and look to see if we would have a nation. Literally, they called it a new Israel, literally, new Israel. They wanted to have a nation that was ruled by God. So they came, they established this colony. They had already obtained religious freedom in Holland. That wasn't the purpose for them coming here. What happened in Holland is what happened in other places. Liberalism. Things crept in. It was impacting their children. So they said, no, we'll start out for the new world. And there we'll establish a colony and we'll establish a nation that is able to serve God. Be members of his body, as Pittman, the preacher of the Puritans, did on the ship Annabella, preaching to them, calling them members of Christ's body, coming together. That's why they came. So what happens? Well, something changes, and when things change, as I said, not always for the good. And now we're sitting here in censorship like you have never seen in your life. Do you realize how this whole COVID thing has impacted this country? We're looking at things. Let me read something to you today, which is pretty interesting. I picked up an article from an American Renewal, a guy by the name of David Lane. So David Lane puts out this article. This is today, in fact, the article was emailed to us. It says here, if you're between, it's just, I'll go through a list and give you where this is coming from, but if you're between the ages of 20 and 40, your risk of dying from COVID-19 is the same as your chance of dying from playing football. Okay. If you're between the ages of 15 and 24, you're more likely to be fatally afflicted by falling down the stairs than by COVID-19. Kids under 15 have more chance of getting hit by lightning than of dying from COVID-19. Healthy women under 40, your odds of dying from COVID-19 are about the same as dying from a plane crash. If you're under the age of 65, the chance of dying from COVID-19 is the same risk you face driving on your commute to work. This is how John Ioannidis, MD, Professor of Medicine of Health, Research and Policy of Biomedical Data Sciences at Stanford University School of Medicine, presents the insignificant risk posed by the deadly novel virus. I mean, this is up-to-date information. And by the way, Stanford has got quite a reputation as a medical school. I'm surprised somebody hasn't already deleted this from the internet. But that's because it hasn't gone on Facebook yet, I imagine, or through Google. So thus far, so far, we're good. So the six-month manic COVID-19 campaign driven by Big Pharma's panic for profit, aided and abetted an un-American censorship from the Big Ten's techs. I want you to think about the people that were censoring us. You had Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Google, and the drum-beating mainstream media. That's what they're doing, beating the drum here and, you know, demanding that we listen to science. But notice the science they wanted us to listen to was only one stream of science, and that is we had to listen to what was coming down from Anthony Fauci and from the CDC. Now, remember, when this whole thing started, the confusion that there was. Well, I'll back up just a moment. So let's continue on with what's happening here. So we've had all of this thing. Now, one of the problems with censorship and we're, you know, looking at the media beating a drum, we have to have masks, we have to do this. Look, you can't go in a store today where I am right now without a mask. You have to go in. The various stores require you to have a mask. You need to walk with that mask in there. That's what they want you to do. We comply. I comply because I need to shop, all right? I'm not, now let's put it this way. There's a limit to my compliance on anything, and there should be a limit towards yours. And it should be on the issue of science. What is the science behind it? And one of the fears that David Lane has on this, he makes this statement. He said, look, we've reached the point where if people were told to get into boxcars and be taken to virus protection camps, many would rush to get in line. You know, I want you to think about that. Do you realize how Hitler eliminated the Jews and the gypsies and others? He was going to take them and resettle them. These people came believing. I was at Auschwitz. I was at Birkenau. These people came believing with their luggage and their clothing, looking for a new future away from where they were. And their future was death, because that is what the government was doing. It was eliminating these people. But they had to get on the boxcars. What were they going to do? This is where they're going. They put them in there. It was terrible, friends. If you ever see the pictures and actually go to these camps and see the things that happened, it's hard to even conceive that one human being can treat another human being like that. And then at the same time, when we look at what's happening right now in our country, and we see the anarchy, and we see the violence, thank God it is not widespread. It is in a few major cities. But make no mistake about it, these people aren't protesting. These organizations are doing something quite a bit different. So let's think about it. You might be thinking, David Lane goes on to tell us, why we have not each and every winter worn masks as protection from the flu. It's true. We haven't. I've never worn a mask for protection from the flu. So Linda Johnson, MD, spells that out. She says the coronavirus is about 100 nanometers in diameter. That's pretty darn small. Cloth mask holes are 1,000 times larger than a virus. An analogy is used that a mask is like a mosquito getting through a chain link fence. It's actually much worse. It's a mosquito getting through a chain link fence with holes 14 yards in diameter. That's how much protection you are getting from your mask. Now, I have another theory on this, but I'll just tell you what it is. It came up. I have this guy in church runs the, one of our sound and audio sections there. He takes care of the slides and what have you. And, you know, it's interesting. He was fooling around a little bit, and he's telling me a story. And he says, you know, he said he was kind of playing with one of his friends at work that he has, and he was saying that he was saying to him, you know, he said, John, he says, I don't know. He says, I think my wife is keeping something from me. And so, you know, he's been married a long time, and John looks at him, and they're good friends, and he says, well, what's going on? He says, what's happening? He says, look, he says, I'll tell you, I don't know, I don't want to tell you, but I think she's holding back from me. She doesn't want to tell me something. So he says, well, what is it? Please tell me. Tell me, Mike, what is it that she's holding back from? He says, well, I think she doesn't want to tell me that she thinks I look better with a mask on. So he says, really, you know? So now he says this, and I'm out there sitting in the car waiting for my wife to come out of the market basket. And there's this gal walking out of the store towards me, actually towards my car. Her car turned out to be parked right next to me. And of course, she's wearing a mask. And she gets into the car and I'm looking at her and I'm saying to myself, gee, I wonder if she looks better with a mask on or off. And she took it off and then I made my decision. I thought she looked better with the mask. But my point is, maybe that's why people are wearing masks. Maybe they think they look better in it. I mean, maybe it's kind of exotic in some ways. I don't know. But let's go back to this. Regarding the question of what might be going on in America, getting through, noticing now that you're talking about the virus passes right through the mask. So regarding the question that might be going on, Stephen A. Holtz, MD, has this to say. The purpose of masks is to break your will, destroy your individuality, and make you submissive to a tyrannical government bureaucrats. Fauci and leftists, blue state governors and mayors. First you lose your identity, then you lose your freedom. So the medical mantra to make masks matter beyond their measure, mindlessly multiplied by the mass media, has mandated a state of muted maskum, or rather maskum multism, which asserts that are unquestioned and the misgiving remains unanswered. In other words, where assertions are unquestioned, if they say, well, you need a mask. If you're not wearing the mask, you're not being polite. You're not being considerate of others. I get that. Quite frankly, in certain circumstances where there's people are so afraid today that I'll put on a mask to just for the purpose of, making them feel secure. I'm not sick, but hey, they believe I'm protecting them by my wearing the mask. So if that helps, that helps. But for me, it's kind of silly. It really is. So again, before attempting to make spiritual application, we go 43 years back to the days before this writer, that is the writer of this article, was converted. Would you have known David Lane then? You would have thought. I cannot imagine anyone in the world less likely to be saved by Christ. Yeah, he's a pretty tough-looking guy, I want to tell you that. He's, I've had the privilege of traveling with him and a group of other pastors and Governor Huckabee on a trip to Europe. Actually, it's a lot more than that, but it was kind of an interesting trip because that's when I got to go to Auschwitz and Birkenau. But anyway, if you see Mike looks like a real, David rather looks like a real tough guy. He does. He's stocky. He's tough looking. He's a kind of guy that you look at and you really don't want to mess with him. Sometimes he stands at the back of the auditorium or the room where they're having the meeting. And first time I saw him, I thought he was some sort of an armed guard or security guy. I didn't know who he was. So I said to somebody, who's that guy back there anyway? What's going on with him? Oh, that's David Lane. Now, I probably wouldn't have believed that he could have gotten saved. I've got a lot of saved friends like that have come to know Christ that you never would have thought it possible for them. But anyway, he goes on to say, it would be near impossible to find someone more irresponsible, more heedless, and more ungodly than him. Now, this once again brings us to Governor Gavin Newsom. I see that he sat down with our president the other day, and they got along. That's because the president, as usual, has done a great job in supplying what they need for these forest fires that they're having in California, which are devastating them. So, at any rate, over the past few months, we've pointed out that the sullied history, irrepressible arrogance, and questionable character of the 52-year-old, now this is David Lane that has pointed this out, of the 52-year-old Newsom, as seemingly closely affiliated with the serpent of Gath in 1 Samuel 17, Goliath's strutting encroachment of Israel, and blasphemous taunting echoes Newsom's malevolent manifesto of declaring California churches non-essential, while classifying liquor stores, marijuana distribution centers, and abortion clinics as essential. That's actually what happened. The churches had to rebel against him out there, and they did so by doing protests. Protests were okay, you see, but church wasn't okay. And they would find all kinds of reasons not to let people meet in churches. Why? Well, you know, you're saying something here. You're trying to belittle the work of the church and the things that it does. And I want to tell you something. I don't know about you, but for me as a pastor, I want to tell you, church is not a club. When we opened our church in Amherst, New Hampshire some years ago, almost 30-something years ago, we had a member on the board of selectmen in there, and he raised a question, and he said, what's the difference between your church and the Church of the Saka? Now, I want to say this to you. That's kind of an interesting thing, because on the soccer fields in Amherst, you would have on some days as many as 1,000 kids out there on Sunday morning. Well, they weren't in church, but they were playing soccer. So what was the difference? So I let them know. I let them know that what we do is, first of all, we bring people from death to life through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that life is not just on this planet here, but it goes beyond this. We talked about the people that were set free from alcoholism, set free from demonic oppression, sickness, the amount of people that we, and I went through a list of things, and I said, and that's part of the difference between the church that we have and the Church of the Saka, plus we're a religion and we have the right to free religion. The next session we came back to, that selectman was not there. He didn't quit, but the board apologized to me for his behavior. And I just want to tell you that's the humanist attitude. You are not needed. Church is not needed. God is not needed, is really what they're saying. It's a war on Christ. So we find that as we look at the things that are happening, David Lane goes on to say that before pagans like Goliath of Gath roamed the earth to oppress and abuse others, earlier leaders and rulers also thrived on the large-scale spreading of fear and panic, which is the trademark of tyrants. That's true. Numbers 13, 25 to 33. Israel cowered before both. Today, a blue state governor and mayors are just the latest hectors exploiting agonizing angst against and petrifying panic. Yeah, petrifying panic to gain control of the public square. So what they're doing is panicking people. You can't get together. You're going to die. You're going to pass this on, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, it's true. And Lane is pretty tough on Christians. And I don't blame him because, quite frankly, the church has gotten pretty darn soft in many areas. And he goes on to say that it would seem that American Christendom has been strategically positioned for an urgently needed wake-up call by the living God. That is, this is our kairos, that is our moment of awakening, a gifting, our propitious moment for action. If Christians are to sustain freedom and liberty for their children and their grandchildren, a serious change of impact will be required. My friends, that's a fact. So loyalties are now being tested in the present crisis as serpents and giants stalk America in the likes of Gavin Newsom, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and Fortune 500 companies indirectly or directly rooting for looting and setting fire to American cities. You know, that's the truth, that they are supplying the funding There are groups applying the funding for these groups. I mean, you realize that you have one of these incidents that takes place, and the next thing you know, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, these guys are sitting up in hotels. They've been flown in. They're in within hours that they get them to these sites. And bricks and other stuff for violence. There's a fact for that. So, to the pastors, he has a lot to say, and I don't know that I want to, you know, go through this whole thing with you, but let me just say to the pastors that are sitting out the battle against grandiose pronouncements demanding a halt to reopening America's churches, we paraphrase from The Making of a Man of God, Lessons from the Life of David. For a while, it'll be possible that you, like David, may be able to soothe or satisfy radically secular elected officials and government bureaucrats by playing your spiritual harp. But the moment you raise your head in opposition to their wanton and unrestrained abuse of power and despotic misappropriation of authority, they'll take aim at you, or as Alan Redpath expressed it, you will discover that the place of rejection by others is the place of acceptance by God. So the truth of the matter is this. We're in a situation right now where things are being censored by these organizations, censored by, as we went through it, Apple, Amazon, Google, Facebook, and the like. And you're watching information not get to you. You can't get facts. They'll give you no facts but what others are saying. Meanwhile, you have experts, qualified experts, that are disagreeing with what these individuals are doing. I just saw a program just a couple of weeks ago of five doctors that went down and they were protesting because they found cures for treatments, but they weren't allowed to use them because they were being blocked by Big Pharma. Why? Because the cures were with existing medicines. And they got fired. One got fired. So because they spoke up. So this is how censorship takes place. It's not just in the religious realm, but understand that the war against Christ is a war against America. It's a war against every patriot. It's a war against every family. And you may not see it right now, but I'm telling you, it's emerging right now. But let me say this. One thing we know for certain that is that the Lord said to the Apostle Paul when he was persecuting the Christians, having imprisoned, beaten, thrown in prison, and in some instances killed. And he was on his way to Damascus, and the Lord appeared to him on the road. And as we read from his account in Acts, as he makes his appeal before King Agrippa, what does he say? Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? It is hard to kick against the gourds or the pricks. What is that? Well, the gourd is it's like a sting of a bee. It's like the sting of a scorpion, of an animal that can kill. It's like kicking against a sharp object. The point that Jesus was making to him is, you can do this, but it's not going to prevail. All that's going to happen is you're going to fail. And that's the fact of the church. They have shut down churches and places before. They have censored people. They have censored our schools. They've changed our textbooks. They've taken every religious event out of it to make sure that you don't know that it's believing people who came, who trusted their life to Jesus Christ, who built this nation. They try to redate this history, this new New York Times history that they've rewritten. It's not going to work because it's false. It's true. Friends, we're at the end of the program today. May God bless you and prosper you. I'll be looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. But be of good cheer. The Lord Jesus Christ hasn't left the scene, and the church is arising as a mighty man of war.